Today's first reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, from that song of Mary often called the Magnificat. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56, listen for God's word to us today. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliest of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." So ends the reading.
Our second reading is from the fourth and final chapter of the book of Ruth, which we've been spending time with these past few weeks. Listen again now for the word of God. No sooner had Boaz gone up to the gate and sat down there than the next of kin, of whom Boaz had spoken, came passing by.
So Boaz said, "Come over, friend, sit down here." And he went over and sat down. Then Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. He then said to the next of kin, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our kinsman Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me so that I may know. For there is no one prior to you to redeem it, and I come after you."
So he said, "I will redeem it."
Then Boaz said, "The day you acquire the field from the hand of Naomi, you are also acquiring Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead man, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance."
At this, the next of kin said, "I cannot redeem it for myself without damaging my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, one took off a sandal and gave it to the other. This was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the next of kin said to Boaz, "Acquire it for yourself," he took off his sandal.
Then Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, "Today you are witnesses that I have acquired from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, to be my wife, to maintain the dead man's name on his inheritance, in order that the name of the dead may not be cut off from his kindred and from the gate of his native place. Today you are witnesses."
Then all the people who were at the gate, along with the elders, said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you produce children in Ephrathah and bestow a name in Bethlehem. And through the children that the Lord will give you by this young woman, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah."
So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When they came together, the Lord made her conceive, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without next of kin, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has borne him."
Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron. Hezron of Ram, Ram of Amminadab, Amminadab of Nashon, Nashon of Salmon, Salmon of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And so it ends, this wonderful little book of Ruth. As all good stories end, they lived happily ever after. Brave Naomi, generous Ruth, faithful Obed, faithful Boaz, rather, and lucky Obed, blessed every one of them. These two independent women, whose prospects seem bleak, but who trust God and each other, seize the day and find joy in the present and hope for the future. This faithful man who practices righteous hospitality welcomes a stranger and finds his own future. This baby boy. Now, if you were here a few weeks ago, you may remember that this story takes place in the time of the judges, when there was no king in Israel and all the people did what was right in their own eyes. But at least three people, Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, did what was right in God's eyes. And they would take their place in the genealogy of the greatest king Israel would ever know. Now, some have noted that this is a Bible story in which God does not speak. But certainly God acts. Through the chesed, the loving kindness of Naomi and Ruth and Boaz. Ordinary people all, little people in the scheme of things. But did you ever hear what Mother Teresa said once? I cannot do great things. I can only do small things with great love. Because there is no such thing as small love. Yet only once does the word love appear in this story, at the very end, and it's Ruth's love for Naomi that's spoken of. But if the word love doesn't pop up left, right, and center, the action of loving does. Ruth's love for Naomi and Naomi's for Ruth, the love of Ruth and Boaz. Love enacted among a little group of little people, made manifest in the end in an entire community. In the first chapter of Ruth, after Naomi returned to Bethlehem with her daughter-in-law, Ruth, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women of the town gossiped, "Can this be the same Naomi who left here with her husband and sons years ago, so full of hope?" No, it wasn't the same Naomi, but a woman feeling bereft and lost, who says, "Call me Mara, bitter, for God has dealt bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." The women of the town hear her complaint, even as they see the faithful Ruth standing right beside her. Ruth, faithful, but foreign. As Naomi seems not to register the blessing of Ruth at her side, the community keeps its distance. Maybe they don't actively shun Ruth. Maybe they do. Certainly they do not embrace her. Yet, intrepid Ruth goes out to glean, to pick up the grain left behind by the harvesters so that she and Naomi won't starve. And she ends up working, providentially, in a field owned by Naomi's kinsman, Boaz. The harvest workers give Boaz a good report of Ruth, and the men treat her respectfully, and the women eat by her side. She is not one of them, this foreign widow woman, but the people of Bethlehem are beginning to make a place for her in their midst. Then comes the harvest festival, and the clever and resourceful plan of Naomi to rescue Ruth and herself from a life of poverty. All Ruth has to do is get Boaz to marry her. The harvest is celebrated, and Naomi's plan also bears fruit. But before Boaz can claim his bride, there's a little business to attend to. Bethlehem being a small town, it's no surprise that word has leaked out of Boaz's intentions. And as soon as he appears the next morning at the village gate, that is the place where business was conducted and legal matters decided, as soon as he gets there, he's met by a man who is Naomi's nearest of kin and official goel, or redeemer. Boaz picks a group of town elders from among the crowd to serve as witnesses. And he says to this guy, this next of kin, "So here's the deal. Our kinswoman, Naomi, she has a little plot of land to sell, a few acres she inherited from her husband Elimelech. So I thought I'd let you know. The thing is, you have the right of first refusal. If you'd like to buy it, great. If not, let me know. I'm next in line. I'll buy it." And this guy, probably scenting a good deal, says, "Count me in. I'll redeem it." So Boaz says, "Fantastic. But I should mention, when you acquire the land from the hand of Naomi, you will also acquire the hand of her daughter-in-law in marriage. Do you know her, Ruth? That foreigner Naomi brought back from Moab?" And all of a sudden, this poor fellow seems to remember a prior engagement because he can't get out of there fast enough. Now, maybe that he's worried that if he and Ruth have a son, the child will officially become Elimelech's heir, and the land he paid will technically be the son's, not his. Or maybe he has no desire to marry some woman who's not only a foreigner, but possibly barren. After all, she was married for years and has no children. At any rate, this guy hems and haws, and then he says in front of the official witnesses, "It's all yours, bro," and hightails it out of there. And it came to pass just as Boaz had hoped. And finagled, don't you think? Naomi isn't the only schemer in this family. Boaz announces the outcome to the gathered throng, and those witnesses respond with a blessing. "May the Lord make Ruth like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. And may your household thrive, and your offspring prosper. And through them may the people of Israel be blessed." And Ruth and Boaz marry and have a son. At the birth, the women of the village gather around Naomi, who had lost a husband and two sons, and they lay the child on his grandmother's breast and offer their own blessing. "May this child give you new life and uphold you in old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you," there's that word, "she who is more to you than seven sons has borne this child." A child was born to Ruth and Boaz and to Naomi. The women of the village named him Obed. And so ends the story of the book of Ruth. The story of Ruth, who was so faithful, so true, so brave. Ruth, whose gleanings turned to gold. Of Naomi, whose bitterness turned to beauty. Of Boaz, whose righteousness yielded a bountiful harvest. A story of despair and faith, lament and boldness, of emptiness and hope fulfilled. The book of Ruth closes with these words. Now these are the descendants of Perez. Perez became the father of Hezron, Hezron of Ram, Ram of Amminadab, Amminadab of Nahshon, Nahshon of Salmon, Salmon of Boaz, Boaz of Obed, Obed of Jesse, and Jesse of David. David of Bethlehem, God's anointed, Israel's great shepherd king. And if those closing words maybe sound vaguely familiar, you might remember that the Gospel of Matthew opens with a genealogy which continues the lineage of Obed. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph. And let me quickly run through here. Jehoshaphat, Joram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amos, and Josiah, Jeconiah, and his brothers. I'll also fast forward through Jeconiah's sons, Lathiel and Zerubbabel, and Abiud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Achim, Elihud, Eleazar, Matthan, and Jacob. And maybe you're wondering where on earth this is going. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. A happy ending indeed. Happily forever after. And so ends the story of the book of Ruth, the great, 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 etc., grandmother of Jesus. The story of two bereft but fierce women who trust God and each other, seize the day, and find joy in the present and hope for the future. Of a faithful man who practices righteous hospitality, welcomes a stranger, and receives God's blessing. But did you notice? It's also the story of a community. A community that went from caution to welcome, from condemnation to celebration, from mistrust to blessing. And the community, too, was blessed. For yes, this is a story of three little people with little problems and little loves, little great loves. And to borrow from another canonical work, the movie Casablanca, even the loving kindness of three little people doesn't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Unless God blesses it. And a community lets itself be transformed by it. And it grows and grows. That African saying, "It takes a village to raise a child," is true. A village, a church, a community. And maybe it also takes a village to love our neighbors. We can't all be Ruths or Naomis or Boazes. We can't all be as gutsy and righteous and faithful. Not all the time, certainly. But like those men bearing witness at the village gate, like those women blessing the birth of a child, we can let ourselves be moved from caution to condemnation, from caution rather, and condemnation and mistrust to welcome and celebration and blessing. We too can love. We can, and we have. You have, and I know you will. And you too will be blessed. Amen.